أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Before we start today's talk, let's just think about why we're here today. We're here to read the Quran. Why is that so important in our lives? If we think about it, we all dedicate a certain number of years for any career that we wish to pursue, whether doctor, accountant, lawyer. But if someone were to get up and say, my father was a doctor, so I'm a born doctor and I don't need to study medicine, we'd say he's crazy. We'd never go to him. If we think about it, there is one profession that we've all been born into. We all call ourselves born Muslims. Do we know what it takes to be a Muslim? Do we know what it means to be a Muslim? And how do we find out? We find out in this book, Al-Quran. What does the Quran mean? The Quran is literally derived from the root word qara'a, to read. So the Quran literally means the reading. Now, what is the Quran's message for us? Basically, the Quran is an invitation to all of mankind to worship Allah, to find out what it is Allah wants from us.
Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu
once described the Quran as being the ma'duba of Allah. Do you know what the ma'duba is? The ma'duba is where a king holds a feast and invites those worthy of his feast to it. So today we are all gathered here at Allah's invitation. Allah Malikul Muluk, the King of all kings. Now just imagine for a moment, how would you feel if you were invited to dine at the presidency? We might act cool about it, but inwardly we'd be delighted. We'd take out our best clothes, we'd put on our best society manners. We'd be so careful that we shouldn't commit any social faux pas. So when we are gathered here today, we need to know what manners it is that the King of all kings requires from us. The first etiquette when reading the Quran is, إِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا. When the Quran is read, then listen. Not just listening with your mind elsewhere, listen attentively. وَأَنصِتُوا, and be silent. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. In order that you may receive mercy, in order to gain from this treasure, we need to internalize what we're listening to. If you think about it, in this world, if someone we care about, someone who's important to us, is talking to us, we wouldn't be listening with our mind on other things. We'd be listening carefully. Think of the conversations you have with your best friend, or when your mother tells you, I've got something important to tell you. And we tell other people, keep quiet so I can concentrate. The second thing we need to remember is we need to believe in the Quran, that it's from Allah and that He has written each word personally for each of us. It's a gift of love from the Creator to His creation. Each ayat that we read, we should apply to ourselves. As Iqbal's father advised him, read the Quran as if it's being personally revealed to you. Not that we read it and think, oh, these hypocrites of long ago, or this is what so-and-so does, or I know someone who's just like this. We should apply it to ourselves. Thirdly, we need to reflect deeply on all we read. Not just listening once and then saying, oh, I know what's in the Quran, I've heard it. No, we need to reflect upon it. We need to contemplate it. And then we need to act upon it. Because knowledge without acting upon it is useless. For instance, you tell a child, if you go near the heater or you put your hand in the fire, it'll burn you. And he nods, and then he goes and puts his hand in the fire. You said, weren't you listening to what I told you? That knowledge for him was useless because he didn't act upon it. So if we're listening to the Quran, if we're deriving intellectual stimulation from it, but we're not acting upon it, it's useless. And in that case, the Quran will be an argument against us and not for us. Finally, and most importantly, we need to convey whatever we learn to other people. People say, oh, I know what's in the Quran. I've read the Quran. If they've read the Quran, why aren't they conveying it to other people? We need to convey it to all those who come within our sphere of influence, friends, families, neighbors, because the Quran, and this is the most beautiful aspect of the Quran, is like a treasure that multiplies the more and more you share it with others. The more you teach the Quran, the more your own understanding is enriched. And now we'll start the Quran itself. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. سورة الفاتحة. الفاتحة means the opening. Why is it called the opening? Firstly, because it's the opening of the Quran. And secondly, the doors of guidance are opening. As we enter this book, let's pause a minute and pray to Allah that Allah gives us the chance to implement the words we read in our lives. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-lazina an'amta alayhim. Ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim. Wala al-dallin. Ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts al-Fatiha by saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most forgiving, the repeatedly merciful. This is Allah's first introduction of Himself to us. People have concepts of Allah. Some people say, Allah has been so unfair to me. Allah has been so cruel to me. What have I done to deserve all these problems? Allah starts by calling Himself Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, the most forgiving. Ar-Rahim, the repeatedly forgiving, the repeatedly tender-hearted. Alhamdulillah, all praises are for Allah. Why? Rabbil Alameen. Simply because He is the Rabb, not just of you or me, but of the entire universe and all that it contains. Whether animals, plants, human beings, whatever. See, Rabb is a really beautiful word. Rabb is not just the Creator. We all say, oh, Allah created us, and that's why we say Alhamdulillah. Rabb is a much deeper word than that. Rabb means the one who created, the one who nurtures, the one who sustains, the one who nourishes. Like a child loves his mother, not just because she's his biological mother, but because she takes care of him, because she's bringing him up, because she spends sleepless nights for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillah. This is the most basic truth there is. All praises belong to Allah. Why? Rabbil Alameen. He alone is the creator. He alone is the nourisher, the sustainer. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Again Allah repeats, the most forgiving, superlative. His mercy encompasses all, whether we deserve it or we don't deserve it. Ar-Rahim, the repeatedly merciful. And this Ar-Rahim refers to the mercy of Allah, which will encompass the believer especially on the Day of Judgment. Maliki Yawm al-Din, Master of the Day of Judgment. When you read this ayat, Maliki Yawm al-Din, we feel a sense of peace and relief that it is Allah who will be deciding our fates on that day, no one else. If you think about it, is there anyone that we could ask, well, you would pass a judgment against me, and feel sure that they would pass a just judgment? Even if we were to ask our mother, can you give a judgment? And maybe even our mother would find faults in us. Yes, that time you did this to me, and you're not a good child. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Allah alone is the master of the Day of Judgment because He alone has that complete knowledge of our hearts and of our true intentions, and He alone has that quality of mercy which inshallah will make Him forgive many of us. Some He will forgive without even mentioning their sins. Maliki Yawm al-Din. This power is in Allah's hands alone. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship, O Allah. You alone do we turn to for help. If Fatiha is the essence of a Muslim's belief, then this ayat is the essence of what our life should be. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Allah, you alone do we worship. What is ibadah? We've restricted it to some rituals. We pray, we fast, and we think we've done our duty. Ibadah is much more than that. As we are taught to say in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, indeed my prayers and my ways of worship and my life and my death all belong to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Every action we do should be for Allah. Deen and dunya are linked in the Islamic perspective. Thus we find from a hadith that even the morsel of food you put in your wife's mouth is a sadaqah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Everything we do should be done for Allah's sake and in accordance with Allah's commands. This isn't easy, is it? So Allah tells us, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Ask me for help. Udu'uni astajib lakum. Ask me, I will answer you. This will be difficult to live your life in accordance with my commands alone, but ask my help and I will give you that help. Iyyaka nasta'in. You alone do we ask for help. See, the words that we utter, La ilaha illallah, so casually, without thinking about them, are the greatest form of spiritual liberation. Allah is teaching us to be free of people, to be free of fear of people. I don't need to ask anyone when I have my Allah that I can turn to for help. When I ask Allah, nobody knows about it but Allah and me. When I ask someone else, even if it's my mother, maybe a day will come that my mother will turn to me and say, now stop asking, I'm not going to give you any more. But the only relationship in the world where Allah says, ask and I will give to you. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Now what is it that we ask Allah for? So many things. For wealth, for children, for blessings in our careers, blessings in our lives. Our du'as are restricted to worldly blessings. Allah teaches us to broaden our horizons. What is it that we should ask for most of all? إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Guide us to the straight path. Allah is teaching us that this du'a is the most important du'a of all. Because if someone has wealth, someone has degrees, someone has children, beautiful houses, but they don't have this guidance, then all that wealth is not going to benefit them on the Day of Judgment. إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Guide us to the straight path. What path is that? There are so many cults, so many people who preach different creeds. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The path of those Allah with whom you are pleased. We don't want to please people, we want to please Allah. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Not the path of those with whom you are angry. وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Nor of those who go astray. As Allah teaches us in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. Tell them that the guidance of Allah, that alone is the true guidance. Everyone thinks he's on the right path, but Allah alone can tell us what the right path really is. Ameen. Why do we read Ameen after concluding Fatiha? Because Jibreel alayhi salam said Ameen upon reaching the end of Fatiha. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the Imam says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, you must say Ameen. For if one's utterance of Ameen coincides with that of the angels, then his past sins will be forgiven.